My prayer is that when I get done with this series, then that's how you're going to be. Let me tell you what, this, and I'm gonna review this stuff and review it and review it, because this power of anticipation is absolutely critical, that you be a person that you anticipate. Yeah. This gratefulness, I'm telling you what, you talk about the importance of walking in God's power. I'm just telling you, you will not, listen to me very carefully, you will not walk in the power of God and be a complainer. It won't happen. You cannot. You cannot be a complainer and a grumbler and walk in the power of God. They are absolutely opposing each other. I'm going to show you why. You guys ready to learn some things? I said, you ready to learn some things today? Let's start. Let's look in our Bible at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Everybody say, the power of thanksgiving. Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to show you something very interesting here. Romans chapter 4. And let's start with verse 20. Of course, I'm reading out of the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions. But we have the New King James up here on the screen, so you can follow us word for word. Look what it says. This is talking about Abraham. He, talking about Abraham, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he was, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, the Bible says that Abraham was strengthened by giving glory to God. He was strengthened by giving glory to God. Do you remember, and think about it for a minute, do you remember when Abraham wasn't strong in the promises of God? Do you remember when Sarah wasn't strong in the promises of God? God had promised him the time between what God had promised him and the fulfillment of that was 24 years. 24 years. And in that 24 years, we see example of Abraham not giving glory to God, but being strong, but not strong in faith, but strong in doubt and unbelief. Did we not? Sarah, when at one point in time, Sarah is laughs at God. Remember this? And Sarah and Abraham, after a while, how many know you can believe, but after you haven't seen it accomplished, many of us give up on that promise. But here's what I want you to understand. Being grateful when you have a promise that's given to you by God, and you are grateful for that promise, it waters that seed. There is this time between the promise of God and the fulfillment of that promise that is an opportunity for you either to be a witness to God or give up. How many understand that principle? How many understand there's sometimes a period between when God promises you and you haven't seen it? How many of you God promised some things and you haven't seen it yet? Okay. Well, here's what I'm teaching you today, that in that time, it is absolutely critical. Look at your neighbor and say, this is critical. That you do the right thing, and the right thing is thanking God for what is going to happen. Yeah, but I haven't seen it. I know. Thank God for it anyway. Thank God when you haven't seen it and act like it's coming. But that's not what Sarah and Abraham did. They waited. They didn't see it happen. And they had all kinds of... Sarah, understand this. Sarah was never able to have a baby even when she was young. So she had all kinds of reasons to believe that she wasn't going to get pregnant. And at some point in time, over a period of time, and that's what happens for many of us, because we live in a, you know what, in a instant society where we want everything, you know what, we want everything instantaneously. You know what, we buy the ab cruncher, go out in our garage, you know what, do four crunches, go in, and all you see is a jelly donut. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And you're like, man, this thing doesn't work. No, trust me, it works. Amen. No, it works. The question is, are you going to be disciplined to understand that it might take some time? But because, and Sarah and Abraham were that way, at some point, I don't know how long it took, but at some point in time, they gave up and they came up with their own plan. You know what? Sarah thought, oh, this ain't going to happen. So she takes, you know what, one of her servants and says, hey, you know, Abraham, sleep with her. And you know what? She'll have a kid and we'll adopt that kid and that'll be our kid. How many know that wasn't God's plan? But there's a key here because the Bible says, look at it. This is amazing. The Bible says, and being fully convinced, everybody say fully convinced, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. All eyes up here. At some point in time, they changed. How did that happen? Well, the Bible tells us how it happened. It tells us how that happened. Look at verse 20 again. Look what it says. Not wavering the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened. Everybody say strengthened. In faith. See, that happened. At one time, it wasn't strong in faith, but he got stronger. He got strengthened by faith. Why? Giving glory to God. See, there's these seeds of promise that your marriage is going to be strong, that your finances, you're going to get out of debt, that your kids are going to serve the Lord. There's these promises that God has put in your heart. And what is absolutely critical that you walk in and you stayed walking in that is to give glory to God. Power of thanksgiving. Now, we read that and we say, give glory to God, give glory to God. And really, to be honest with you, most of us don't have a clue on what he's talking about here. We just got through singing it. One of the songs talked about giving glory to God. And so I looked at it, I thought, what in the world is it talking about here? And when you look it up in the Greek, it's weird because when you first look it up in the Greek, many times you'll look up a word in the Greek and it'll bring clarification. You go, oh, that's good. It'll become clear. You know what I mean? Like you know, when you go to the eye doctor and he says one or two, you know what I mean, three or four, and there's a lens, and when he goes that one, it becomes real clear. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Many times when you look up something in the Greek, when you turn to it and you look up that word, it brings more clarity. So pastor, that's what happened to you? No, that didn't happen to me. So I looked this up in the Greek and it was almost like, oh my goodness, they used the wrong word here. Okay, let me explain it to you. The word glory in the Greek means treasure, so or abundance. So when I'm reading that, I'm thinking, so Abraham gave abundance to God? Abraham gave treasure to God? And that didn't make any sense to me at first. Because I'm thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Abraham gives, you know what, was strengthened giving treasure to God. Giving, you know what, abundance to God. What is it talking about? And I started to understand here. When I was a young adult in my 20s, I started going to a Pentecostal church. And one of the songs that we sang in that Pentecostal church was this song that went like this. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord. Do you guys know this song? Okay. It's a great song. But ascribe means to say to someone, you're like this. So if when my wife sees me out in the yard, you know what, with the wheelbarrow, taking tree trunks and just throwing them on my back and just, you know what I mean? She ascribes to me, she attributes to me that I'm strong. Is this making sense? That's what ascribe means. That's what Abraham is doing. He is attributing to God at some point in time in his life. He attributes to God, God, you are strong. You are wealthy. There's no lack in you. We understand this. Let me make it clear to you. If you see somebody, maybe a king from another country, and that king and you say, wow, I saw King so-and-so and his glory. You know what and his glory is? And his glory is you see the king, but you not only see the king, you see, you know what, his limousine. And he's got a limousine, and it's one of those Mercedes-Benz limousines, and it's a long stretch limousine. I mean, it's like, whoa. And you not only see his limousine, you not only see him, but you see his limousine. You not only see his limousine, but you see his motor cave. And he's got 8 cars in front and 8 cars in back, and they're those big black, GM Suburbans, you know what I mean? And then you see all these guys get out, you know, so the king gets out, but before the king gets out, all the guys get out and they're, you know what I mean? And they're big and they're buff and they're, you know what I mean? And you see all this, and you see this, all this, you know what, splendor, all this, what is that? It's his glory. You know what that is? That's his wealth. Yeah. Amen. You not only see the king, but you see the king and all his glory. What's glory? Glory is his wealth. Abraham becomes strong. Everybody say, become strong. See, you know he was weak. I mean, they're coming up with some, you know what, crackerjack idea to make it happen. Here's why. Because they didn't believe that God could do it. But it changed. How did it change? It changed by Abraham giving glory to God, ascribing to God that God was powerful enough to do that. There was no, watch this, he was wealthy enough. What's wealth? Wealth is no insufficiency. I mean, no wealthy person goes to the Toyota dealer, he doesn't go, oh man, I can't afford this Camry. You know what I mean? I have to settle with this, you know, lower. How many know that is that? How many know a really wealthy person not only goes to Toyota dealer, goes to any dealer he wants and buys whatever car he wants? Why? There's no insufficiency. That's what Abraham is ascribing to God, that there's no insufficiency in him at all. And as he continues to say, God, you can do it. God, you're going to get this done. God, I ascribe to you that there's no insufficiency. And I'm looking unto you, the author and finisher. My insufficiency, your wealth, your ability outdoes my inability. And when he keeps on doing that and says, God's strong enough, 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 his doubt and unbelief turns and becomes, you know what, so strong. Look at verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Not only God promised it, but God was able to perform it. Watch this. He is ascribing to the Lord that you are the one that's all powerful. You are the one that's all sufficiency. And watch this. And just him continuing to say, God, I thank you. It's going to happen. God, I thank you. It's going to happen. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. What turns around is he becomes a person that is completely, completely, completely full of doubt and unbelief, and it turns him around. And not only is that said of Abraham, but Sarah, in other scriptures in the New Testament, is ascribed the same thing, that she was strong in belief. Well, you know, Sarah laughed at God. And God said, you laughed at me. She said, oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, yes, you did, he said. How did the whole thing get turned around? Thanksgiving. He ascribes to God. I'm grateful because, God, you're powerful enough. I have no reason to be depressed. I have no reason to be discouraged. I have no reason to think that you're... No, I ascribe to you glory and honor and power. Yes. You are all powerful. You can get this done.
That's right.
You know what that is? That's Thanksgiving. Where you are grateful for what God is going to do, and it's not dependent upon you, it's dependent upon him. See, that's why I'm telling you, you'll never fulfill what God, if you are a grumbler and a complainer and a doubter, and you know what, you're just like always grumbling, that is the opposite of thankfulness. Thankfulness is saying, God, I know you're going to do it, and I'm grateful.
Amen.
And let me tell you about that. That is absolutely a key to you walking in the power of God. And it's why many people, they're not strong in the Lord. They're weak in faith. They don't trust in God. And listen, and you say, well, yeah, but, and many times, listen, all it is, it's you got used to doing something a certain way. For many of you, you know what? Your parents complained. No, really, I'm not ripping on your mama. I'm just saying, you know what? Don't talk about, Pastor, don't talk about my mama. You know what I mean? I mean, people get upset when you start talking about their mama. Listen, I don't mean to talk about your mama, but many of you, you lived under, or your dad, you know what? Or your grandpa, or your grand, or somebody in your, that was, they just taught, and you just were trained the wrong way. Well, let me tell you what, that's not good, but don't sit there and just say, well, that's just how I... No, you have the power to change things.
Amen.
You have the power to turn things around, and what you have to turn things around is you become not a complainer, but someone who's grateful.
Yes.
That ascribes to God, God, you're powerful enough.
Right.
See, if God is powerful enough, I have nothing to complain about.
Right.
Hello? Why? Because I'm assessing that God's power is going to turn this thing around. Amen?
Amen.
You know what? But what are you looking at? Everybody say, what are you looking at? You know what? So let me, guys in the back, get ready to go to show me the weather report of Pico Rivera. Can you show me this? So I was looking at this, and can you go up to... Can you, well, you don't have to go up there, but on Sunday, you know how hot it's going to be today? No, not that one. Okay, but on today, they don't have it, but on Sunday, today, it's going to be 90 degrees today.
Wow.
So why is this significant? Because, guess what? How many know I'm not looking at the 90 degrees? Look at that and take a guess of what I'm looking at. I'm looking at 81, amen? So I go to my phone this week and I see, ooh, it's going to be 90 degrees today. But do I focus on that 90 degrees? I don't think, ooh, it's going to be 90 degrees. I don't focus on, you know what I'm focusing on? I'm focused at 90 degrees today, but 88 tomorrow. and Tuesday 68, and Wednesday 68, and Tuesday 86, Wednesday 86, Thursday. Okay, Thursday what? 84. Friday what? 81. Saturday what? 81. What am I doing? I'm focusing. You know what? Why in the world would I focus on 90 degrees today when I can focus on 81 on Sunday? So what am I doing? And listen, well, that's not real. Oh, my goodness. That is real. Amen. Tomorrow's going to be cooler than today, and I'm going to focus on that. That's what I'm going to focus. Listen, you can focus on whatever you want to focus on. Can I tell you what some people do? Show me this other thing. Okay. Woo! 106, 100, look at it, 108, whoa, 100. Okay, listen. What's that? What is that? Let me tell you what that is. That is the temperature in Indio this week. No, now listen, this is really important that you understand what, guys, listen, it's really important that you understand what you do. And I can do it too. We get our iPhones out, you know what, and we see the temperature and we think, oh, it's going to be it's hot. And then what you do is you turn on the television and someone who's been trained to focus on the extremes will talk about, oh, how hot it is, you know what, in the Southland. And so here's what you'll do. Then you'll go to the Indio and you'll go, wow, look at that. It's going to be on Wednesday, it's going to be 108. Listen to me. You'll turn on the television and listen to news that it's not even, it's the news, but it's not in the news in Pico Rivera. You know, something happened over here, and they'll take, and you see them, and they got, you know what, Channel 7, Eyewitness News, and Channel 4, Channel 4, depressing news, and Channel 2, more depressing than Channel 4. And you know what, and they'll run to these places where things are happening, but they're none of them are good things, amen? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And they will record that. And listen, and some of these things, listen, it's not even the true story. It's the extreme negative of the part of the story. Hello? Am I connecting with somebody? And so it's not even accurate, but there's a small degree of truth. And then you'll take that small degree of truth and they'll pipe it out. And love you guys. And you will be, how do I say it nicely? Ditzy enough to turn it on and to allow that to come in and become your reality. And you'll say it, and you'll say it, and you'll believe it, and it'll cause you. And listen, and that is not how Abraham did it. Here's how he did it. He became strong in faith, giving glory to God. Just saying, God can do this. God's going to do it. He can do it. And here's what you're doing. And you're watering that promise. You're watering that promise. And listen, and maybe your marriage isn't what you want it to be. We'll start ascribing to the Lord that He is strong enough to make your marriage better than it's ever been, ever, ever, ever. Start saying, Father, I thank you that my marriage is the best marriage. All the people, my marriage is the best marriage I know about. My kids, I don't know any other kids that are going to be more obedient and more tender to things of God than my kids. God, I thank you for that. God, I thank you that, you know what, I'm not getting more into debt. I'm getting more out of debt. And I'm going to get out, and I thank God that I'm going to get completely out of debt, completely. That I'll be able to get out of debt, and now I'm going to be able to bless other people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, and when, listen, and understand, there's this time between when God promised it and you get it, but what you need to do is you need to stay on the power of thanksgiving. Amen. Not, it's never going to happen. See, many people between the time it's promised and because you don't see it right away, it becomes, it's never going to happen. You know what? Oh, it's taking too long. You know what? Listen, here's one. I probably didn't hear God. I probably got, here's what happened. I got in that service, and that pastor started getting, he started talking about just got me all emotional. After all, he probably had that polka-dotted shirt on. That was probably part of this kind of some hypnosis thing that he does. And I don't know what I was thinking. I just got all emotional. Amen. And that wasn't, and I shouldn't have done, no. And I guess I missed it. No, you didn't miss anything. You didn't miss anything. What you need to do, thank you, I heard that. What you need to do is you need to start to take the promises of God and start ascribing to God the strength that he has the power to get what he promised you, get it done.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The power of thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Are you learning something today? How many feel convicted already? Okay. How many are seeing already the explosive power of thanksgiving? Okay. Number one, people grow strong by giving thanks. People grow strong by giving thanks. That's how you grow strong. Oh, I wish I was strong. Well, just start thanking God. Start thanking God. And I can't tell you, I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but at some point, as you continue to say, thank you, God, for my marriage. Thank you, God, for my kids. Thank you, God, for my finances. You're thanking him that, you have a strong marriage. You're thanking God, that you're going to be out of debt. You're thanking God your kids are going to be serving God. And when you keep on, at some point in time, I don't know when it is, at some point in time, it's going to be like a, it's done. You haven't even seen it yet. You haven't even seen it yet, but you just know, it's just a matter of, it's like, hey, I ordered it. It's on its way. It's coming. It's just a matter of time. How many hearing what I'm saying? And understand this. This is just an important thing for you to understand, that as you're thanking God, you're watering that seed. You're watering that seed. You're watering that seed. Make a decision that every time a worry comes in, you're going to turn around. And you've got to, remember we talked this morning about discipline? You've got to discipline your mind. Here's a wonderful exercise. When doubt and unbelief, and you think, oh man, this is probably going to happen, and this is negative. I'm probably going to lose the house. I'm probably going to, whatever this is. When you start thinking about that, here, do this. Start to say, no, I thank God he's turning the thing around. And see, you keep on, so you're kind of tricking Satan. You're using worry to your advantage. And every time, and listen, I'm talking about verbally out of your mouth saying, thank you, God, for my marriage. Thank you, God, I'm getting out of debt. Thank you, God. You know what? My kids are coming back to the Lord. Thank you, God. You know what I mean? Hello? You're ascribing your, how did Abraham become strong? He became strong in giving glory to God.
Amen.
Boom, it's right there. Amen. It's right there. One of the most powerful things that we need to, and one of the things that's probably more underutilized in the body of Christ than anything else. Okay, let's talk about, let's go a little deeper. Number two. Thank God when?
Always.
Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I said rejoice, which I know this is all encumbersome, but I got 3 points that I want to go over with you that you understand, okay? Because always is always. But I want to get specifically about 3 points where you can blow it. Number one, give thanks to the Lord for what he has done. Ever say what he has done? See, this will revolutionize your life. As what are you doing? You're thinking, watch this, you're thinking of all the things that God has done. And when you start thinking of all the things that God has done, you see the power that God has. Listen, understand this, that David ran Ran. Ran towards Goliath. He's not running towards Goliath because he thinks Goliath is going to whip him. He's running toward Goliath because he knows he's going to whip Goliath. And when, watch this, and when he argues, when Saul, because all, you know, he goes, I don't know if you know the story, he goes to visit his three older brothers. His three older brothers are there, you know what, oh, I'm going to go in the army. So they're in the army, but you know what, but when Goliath comes out, they're all hiding underneath a rock. And his dad, Jesse, says, you know what, go give him some food. So he goes get some food. When he's going to get a food, he hears Goliath, you know, ooh, you guys, you know, and all this trash talking. And he's like, what's up with this? Why are you guys laying? And Saul finds out David's doing some trash talking himself. So he calls him there. But interesting, but Saul wants to put his armor on him. David doesn't want Saul's armor. Listen to me. David doesn't need Saul's armor. And here's what he says as he's ascribing. This key is so helpful. It'll help as you start focusing all the things God has done. Here's what he says, Saul. God delivered me. He's strong. God delivered me from the lion. God delivered me from the bear. And what happens? What does he say next? See, when you start to not forget about all the wonderful things God has done, it starts putting this confidence. You're watering that seed. Well, God did this. Well, God did that. And what about God, what God did last week? And what it does is it waters that seed. And next thing you see, and you go, ooh, and God's gonna do this too. That's what David did. He said, God did this and God did that. And guess what? God's gonna do this. So when he's running, so he gets, and Goliath's like, and he starts running at Goliath. Why? Because he is thankful. What's he thankful for? He's thankful for the victory that God is gonna give him. Amen. That's why he's running. You don't run away from victory. You run towards victory, do you not? Absolutely key. Number one, yeah, of course, give thanks always, but specifically, give thanks for what God has done in the past. It will be so helpful. Number two, watch this. Number two, give thanks for what he is going to do. What he's going to do. Look at Romans chapter 4, or Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Very interesting scripture. Everybody say, give thanks for what God is going to do. Okay. Look at this. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Listen, I don't see her there. Oh, you know what? I hope we have a keyboard. Oh, I hope we have a keyboard. Oh, I hope we have a keyboard. How many know if I kept on saying, oh, I hope we have a keyboard, some of you would be like, do, 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 do. Why am I not hoping that we have a keyboard? Because we have a keyboard. Now watch this. Look at this next verse. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with what?
Perseverance.
With perseverance. Amen. You're eager. Everybody say eager.
Eager.
Like, man, what are you doing? That's the power of Thanksgiving. Here's what you're saying. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's so interesting because if you look at Joshua chapter 6, look up on the screens, Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. And the Lord said to Abraham, or said to Joshua, look what he tells Joshua. See, I have given Jericho into your hand. I have given. How many of you were paying attention when you were in junior high in English class?
Okay.
If you were, some of you weren't. If you were, tell me what. See, I have given. What text is that verb? It's past tense. It's God is saying, God is speaking to Joshua and saying, Joshua, I want you to see it like this. I've already given it to you. Now, here's the million-dollar question. At this point, were the walls up on Jericho? Were the walls up or were the walls down? Up. Everybody say up. But here's what God wants Joshua to do. I want you to look at it like it's already done. If you look at it like it's already done, are you going to complain? No. What are you going to be? You're going to be grateful. Oh, thank you, God. See, thank God for what he's done. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What? Look at verse 16. Look at this. And the seventh time it happened, he gets the plan, when the priest blew the trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord is giving you the city. He's giving you the city. When they shouted, this is deep, were the walls up or were the walls down? When they shouted, were they up or were they down? They were up. What are they shouting for? Isaac had us shout. I think he said, shout, a shout of victory. You're shouting. You're not shouting. How many go to the Dodger game and win the Giants, you know what, hit a grand slam home run to win the game? You're like, yeah! Where's Sebastian? I know Sebastian is. But besides Sebastian, how many know you're not shouting? You know what they were shouting? They were shouting, and the shout was a shout of victory. Watch this. Before it ever happened. Because let me tell you what God wants. God wants. Remember when God prays for Lazarus? You know what he says to God? He says, God, I know that you've already heard me. You know what he's saying? It's already done. God, I know you got this. I'm ascribing to you all the strength. I know it's not a matter of might it happen, could it happen, may it happen. No, God, you know what? The reason I'm doing this is because I want all these people to hear what's going on. Can I tell you what? It's so critical that we ascribe to the Lord the strength that he really has. And when you start to focus on that, here's what will happen. When you start just thank God, thank God, thank God, you'll start to become strong in the Lord. And you won't wait. Many Christians, you know what? They believe it when they see it. They believe it when it's fit. And can I tell you what? That is not who God has called us to be. God has called us to be a people who believe it and thank God before it ever happens. Can somebody say amen? Number one, you know what? We thank God when it's done. We thank God for what he's done. Number two, we thank God for what he's doing. Number three, watch this. Number three, we thank God when we're going through various trials. You know, what you talk about, Willis? No, that's what James says. Look at what James says. Go to James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Amen. What are various trials? Here's what various trials are. All kinds of stuff. Various trials. See, some of you can handle some things, but when it comes to, you know what, when it comes to your kids, man, you just fall into this, I don't rejoice in my, no. Various trials. You know what? Some of you do good on other things, but when it comes to your finance, you're like, and you just fall back into that complaining. It'll never happen. It'll never work. I'm never going to get out of this. And you know what? And that is the very thing that you need to not do. Knowing. Everybody say knowing. That the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking what? Whoa! Lacking nothing. Why are you lacking nothing? Here's why. Because you have been disciplined to ascribe to the Lord strength. You give God glory. You say he's strong enough. It don't make any difference what I see. It doesn't make any difference what I'm going through. And what happens is now you are his agent. Watch this. You are now his agent to change things in this world. Why? Because you are able to say, nope, God can do it. God's going to do it. I thank God that it's already done. Let me tell you what. That Thanksgiving is one of the most powerful forces on the face of this earth. And you're giving thanks to God. Amen. Are you learning something? Okay. And then finally, understand this. My last point. You cannot thank God and complain at the same time. You cannot do that. You're doing two things. You're either praising God or you're complaining. You're either thankful or you're grumbling. Look at, where do I want to go? Yes. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Guys, you have it on there. It's on the first point. Matthew chapter 12. And look at verse 33. Look what God says. Look what it says. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree bad and the fruit bad, for the tree is known by the fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man, out of a good treasure of the heart, brings good things, and an evil out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. What's the issue? Can I tell you what the issue is? The issue is your heart. Do you really believe that God is powerful enough to get it done? Because if you really believe that in your heart, you're going to be a grateful people. Listen, if you are a complaining person, understand what's going on. Take evaluation to understand why are you complaining. You're complaining because you really, down deep, don't believe that God can do it. That's why he says, look, get it right. Make the tree right. Because when the tree's right, then the heart, when the tree's right, then the fruit's going to be right. When the heart's right, the mouth is going to be right. On preaching better, you say amen. That is revelation. Change your heart. That's what faith comes through hearing. Abraham started saying, God's powerful enough. God's powerful enough. God's powerful enough. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. And at some point in time, that hearing produced enough faith that guess what? He believed it. It didn't make any difference. Oh, it was over 100. It didn't make any difference if he was 150. Do you understand what I'm saying? Watch this. But I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. Watch this. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let me tell you this. Understand this. Complaining is one of the worst things you can do to see your life change. You want your marriage to get better? Stop complaining about your spouse. You want your finances to get better? Stop complaining. Stop. Well, I'm on a fixed income. Shh. Stop saying that. Yeah. Shutteth thou uppeth. Because here's what's happening. Here's what the Bible says. You are snared by the words of your mouth. Well, that same snare you can turn around to be a blessing and start speaking. You know what? Watch this. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Well, let your words justify you. And what's going to happen, you're going to start thanking God. It's going to happen. Thank you, God. And guess what? And you're justified. Because guess what? Then it happens. And you go, and then what, you know what you go? You go, see, told you what's going to happen. Amen. See, I knew it was going to. Here's what you'll say. From the heart of the mouth speak. Here's what you'll say. I knew it was going to happen. And you know what you did? You knew it was going to happen. See, can I tell you what? God wants us to be grateful. In every situation in your life, He wants you to be hopeful that through His power, your life can turn around. Amen. Amen. I got to stop. Somebody learned something today. Okay. Amen. Okay, I got to stop, but let me say this first, because we're gonna review and review and review. Everybody say first. Everybody say first, the power of anticipation. Everybody say second, the power of gratefulness. Okay. Next week, I'm going to teach you, you know what, sand the floor. Okay. And then the week after, I'm going to teach you paint the fence. Amen. Okay. You already learned wax on, wax off. All right. You got it? And you're going to be just like that. And Satan's going to come at you, and you're just going to go. Amen. But let me tell you what, you're not going to do this without making a decision. You know what? Make this decision. I'm not going to complain. Oh, I'm never going to complain again. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Love you. That's good. Love your enthusiasm. How about saying this? I'm not going to complain today. Not one word. Say this. Not one word. Is coming out of my mouth that doesn't edify people around me. Now, for some of you, because of the exuberance in which you have been murmurers, okay, it might be a real quiet day for you. Amen. And understand this, and that might be the first step in you starting to thank God. But every time you feel like that, you're going to, and listen, and I'll give you a clue. Start listening to how you sound. You ever been around somebody who complains? You know, you're in a car. You know what I mean? It's hot. I've done this before. It's a hot day. You're in a car. The air conditioning isn't working. And that's bad enough. But they keep on going, it's hot. It's hot. It's really hot. It's hot. It's hot. And then they expound on it. I mean, then they start going, it's not only hot, it's like, and you, have you noticed the humidity? You know what I mean? It's not, it's like hot and I'm sweaty. I can feel. Hello? And then they start describing stuff to you. You're like, hey, man. Silencio, por favor. Amen. But here's the thing. How many know? We hear other people, but here's the question. Here's what I'm giving. Have you listened to how you sound? See? Are you, you know what? Or are you the kind of person and you're like, oh, no, it'll be okay. Or are you, hey, you know what? Going to be 81. Amen. Hello? And that's just an example. But let me tell you what, if you do it in that, guess what? You'll do it in everything. And that's who you are. Can you listen to yourself? For some of you, it's going to be real quiet today in your homes. But can I tell you what? But I believe, I decree and declare that as you start doing this, here's what's going to happen in your home. Your home's going to turn around. Your marriage is going to turn around. Your finances are going to turn around. Everything's going to turn around because you're going to start to focus. You're going to do just like Abraham. You're going to start to focus on the power of God. And as you do, because let me tell you what, God is powerful. The question is God going to be powerful in your life? That's the only question. I got to stop.